Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
Many times, I have heard people say that as long as you keep the Ten Commandments, you'll be okay. I always respond by asking, can you quote all Ten Commandments? And I have yet to get a complete answer. The next question is, do you keep all of them perfectly? Well, of course, an honest person will admit they do not. And if they say they rarely break the law, and then it's not really a big one, I point out that James says, whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. And finally, most people don't even remember what the very first commandment is, which is, you shall have no other gods before me. It should be obvious that none of us keep the Ten Commandments perfectly. The Scriptures plainly teach that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So does that nullify them? The Apostle Paul would say, far from it. So let's take a look at these well-known, yet maybe not so well-known, commandments. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, it is fine to say, I only believe in one God. To quote James, you believe there is one God, you do well. The demons also believe and tremble. Jews, Christians, and Muslims make up over half the world population. They all believe that there is only one God, and they all think the other religions are wrong. They will even go to war over it. But even as a Christian, it is possible to have other gods. Anything or anyone that dominates your attention, your thought, your life, your conversation can become a god to you. How do you spend your time, your money? Where does your devotion lie? When God declares, I am a jealous God, He is not speaking from a position of insecurity. He knows He is the only one worthy of our worship, and He knows what is best for us, and that is to worship Him. The second commandment, thou shalt not make for yourself any graven image or any likeness of what is in heaven, above, or on the earth, beneath, or in the water, or underneath the earth. You shall not worship them, nor serve them. Now this is not a condemnation of the arts. It is forbidding the making of something to worship. And yet, after being warned not to do such things, they melted down their jewelry and made a golden calf to worship. I spent some years in a denomination that loved to criticize the Catholic Church for having statues. They called it idolatry. Then, on my first trip to Washington, D.C., I visited the Bureau of Engraving. It's where they make money. And it suddenly hit me. The almighty dollar. We are all tempted to worship graven images. The third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I grew up thinking this meant cussing, in particular to say GD. That is why some moral folks, especially Southerners, will say gosh darn or dadgummit instead. But I have come to believe that it is a deeper and more insidious thing than uttering swear words. When you attach the Lord's name or imply His approval or support of some activity that is in conflict with His ways, you are taking His name in vain. When we go to war in the name of God, when we support a political candidate who is clearly immoral, but we like his politics, and we call him God's man, when we build churches and become millionaires by fleecing the flock and declare that God has prospered us, we are taking God's name in vain. When we attach His name to our agenda, we take His name in vain. Someone just told me about a pastor confronting a man's daughter and saying, "The Lord told me you are sleeping with your boyfriend." And this was a false accusation, done in God's name. The third commandment is God saying, "Don't drag me into this. This was your doing, not mine. Don't tarnish my name." The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. For 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. I'd like to point out that those who are the most legalistic about keeping the Sabbath, in other words, go to church on Saturday instead of Sunday, often ignore the part that says, 6 days you shall labor. I don't hear them insisting that I work on Sunday. Since you asked, episodes 12 and 74 cover the Sabbath in detail. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God gives you. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees, saying, "God said, honor your father and mother, and the one who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death." Well, that would sure change things in our culture, wouldn't it? Paul says in Ephesians, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may turn out well for you, and that you may live long on the earth," reinforcing the importance of the fifth commandment even in the new covenant. I believe this applies to adopted parents and step-parents as well. It is not about your parents deserving it. There are no perfect parents. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home, but I always honor my mother and my father. They did the best they could. So did yours. Commandment number 6, thou shalt not kill. Now, most translations use the word murder. Israel often went to war, and they had their form of capital punishment. A soldier who goes to war for his country and takes the life of an enemy, a police officer who must resort to deadly force to stop a criminal, someone who takes a life in self-defense, is not committing murder. Even our own court system differentiates between murder, manslaughter, and justifiable homicide. At the same time, Jesus was clear that what goes on in our heart is of much greater consequence than our outward actions. "You have heard," he said, "you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. But I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court, and whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be answerable to the Supreme Court, and says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell." 1 John 3:15 says, "Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life remaining in him." The seventh commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. I was always taught that adultery was a married person having sex with someone they weren't married to, and fornication was sex between two unmarried people. But that is an incomplete understanding of those words. God called Israel an adulteress for worshiping false gods. Adultery is having a double bond. An unmarried person can be guilty of having a double bond. If you are in love with two different people and one of them is God's choice for you, but the other is someone you would be unequally yoked with, or you're lusting after someone, you could be called an adulterer. Hebrews 12 calls Esau a fornicator, yet there is no record in Genesis of his sexual activity. However, he sold his birthright, and for that he was called a fornicator. You see, the Greek word for fornicate is porneia. It's where we get the word pornography. It comes from a description of prostitutes, or those who sell sex. When someone gives sexual favors in exchange for something they want, that is fornication. Married people do this all the time. I'll give you what you want if you give me what I want. Jesus raised the bar when he said, "You have heard that it was said you shall not commit adultery, but I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now if your right eye is causing you to sin, tear it out and throw it away from you, for it is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell." I was at a men's retreat one time, and a guy said, "What am I supposed to do when I see a pretty girl? Ask God to strike me blind?" "No," I said, "that's your job, not his." Then I quoted this verse. Of course, I was being sarcastic. The point of this statement is, don't blame your eye. You have a choice in what you look at and how you look at it. But what about thoughts that run through my brain? As the wise old man told the young man, "You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you sure can stop it from building a nest in your hair." Commandment number 8, thou shalt not steal. We tend to think of stealing as criminal activity like robbery or shoplifting, which certainly qualify. But cheating on your taxes is theft. Falsifying your time at work and getting paid for it is stealing. Not returning something you borrow can be stealing. Overcharging someone for services rendered is stealing. Sometimes not giving what we should is the same as stealing. Leviticus says, do not hold back the wages of a hired worker overnight. Malachi said, would anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. We can also steal things that are not material. You can rob someone of their peace of mind. A child can be robbed of their innocence. You can have time stolen. Have you ever heard the phrase, that's 2 hours of my life I will never get back? The 9th commandment. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. This is not just simply telling a lie. It is really more of a legal term, to testify falsely against someone. It involves a malicious motive. This is why the New Testament comes down so hard on gossip, slander, and backbiting. It is speaking something about someone with the intent to make them look bad. You can even tear someone down by repeating something that is mostly true. Again, it all comes down to motive. Bearing false witness has to do with character assassination. As for lying, Jesus said, the devil does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he tells a lie, he speaks from his own nature because he is a liar and the father of lies. The devil told Eve, you certainly will not die. The devil will twist the truth. He told Eve, God knows that on the day you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will become like God, knowing good and evil. That was not untrue. After Adam and Eve sinned, God said, behold, the man has become like one of us, knowing good and evil. The devil misused truth in order to deceive. He was trying to make God look bad. He was attacking his character. The devil even quoted scripture when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. And Jesus responded with scripture, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. The devil was questioning God's authority. He was questioning God's character and nature. Ephesians tells us, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness in deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, ridding yourselves of falsehood, speak truth, each one of you with his neighbor, because we are parts of one another. Lying contradicts loving. And finally, the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. What does it mean to covet? It is not just to want something. Wanting provision, health, food, shelter, a family, fellowship, life, liberty, and happiness is not breaking the 10th commandment. Covet can also be translated as lust. But notice the application. It is about lusting after something that belongs to someone else. One of the most famous examples of this is the story of David and Bathsheba. David's lust wound up producing murder of an innocent man. The prophet Nathan rebuked David by telling a story of a wealthy man who took a poor man's only lamb. David coveted his neighbor's wife, and it brought tragic consequences into his life. Of all the Ten Commandments, coveting is the one that most people have in common. The world's first billionaire, John D. Rockefeller, was asked, "How much money is enough?" And he answered, "Just a little bit more." I ran a soup kitchen for 20 years. One night, two guys got into a fight. I even had to call the police. It turns out one of them had a sign on a piece of cardboard that he used for panhandling. The other guy tried to steal it from him, and the fight ensued. Covetousness can grip everyone from a billionaire to a homeless person. That is why Paul singles out coveting to make a point about the law and sin in Romans chapter 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Far from it. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." Of all of the commandments, he uses coveting. It was something everyone was very familiar with. So those are the Ten Commandments. Now there's a myth in modern church culture that says the Old Testament was hard and the New Testament is not. This is simply not true. Jesus said, "You have heard you shall not murder, and whoever commits murder shall be answerable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be answerable to the court. You have heard it said that you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." Jesus used that phrase, "but I say to you," several times. Now it was said, "Whoever sends his wife away is to give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of sexual immorality, makes her commit adultery. You have heard, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. But I say to you, take no oath at all, neither by heaven, for it is the throne of God, nor by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you take an oath by your head, because you cannot make a single hair white or black, but just make sure your statement is simply yes or no. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not show opposition to an evil person. Whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other cheek. You have heard, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." Jesus certainly did not lower the bar. He raised it. He was saying that what is in your heart is what matters most. When someone asked Jesus, "Which is the greatest commandment in the law?" he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Upon these two commandments hang the whole law and the prophets." Paul spells it out in Romans 13. The one who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the law. For this, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, And if there is any other commandment, is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. I have more to say on that subject in episode 6 of Since You Asked, Love versus Sin. It is good to keep the Ten Commandments. It is better to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I used to tell my church, work on those two things, and when you have them down pat, bring me your other list of rules. This is Jim Barrier on Since You Asked.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.